Susie, 103.4, Hawley.
On this Remembrance Sunday morning, you join us in the Memorial Gardens at Hawley, the small but busy town with a population around 20,000, which sits either side of the Brighton Main Line and the A23, almost exactly halfway between London and Brighton, with Gatwick Airport literally just down the road. It's a still, cool morning in Hawley. At the moment, the weather's overcast, but away in the southwest, there's some blue sky approaching. It's very still, but the memorial gardens here in Hawley are busy, both inside the garden and outside, where there's a throng of people around the railings here on the Brighton Road. This memorial garden is enclosed on two of its three sides by hedges. It contains conifers, a sycamore to the south, a chestnut to the north. But we're at the southern apex of the Hawley Recreation Ground, where its third side stands open, apart from the railings, to the busy intersection of Vicarage Lane, Victoria Road, and the main A23, from which, as you travel north, there's a fine view of the memorial. There are modest gates close by the road junction. Standing between brick posts, their wrought iron depicts two doves and bears the inscription, "Their name liveth forevermore." A paved approach leads past the flagpole where, this Sunday morning, the Union flag hangs limp, barely stirred by a breath of breeze. The Commonwealth flag has flown here too this year, and will do so again. The memorial itself stands centrally in the garden, but at a little distance towards the northwestern corner, away from the noise of the busy traffic. Hawley Recreation Ground is nearly 7 acres in size, and as well as the memorial here in the garden, it contains a children's playground, skate park, multi-purpose games area, and ornamental gardens. It's also home to the Hawley Bowling Club. The Susie Radio Roadshow was here in the summer for the Hawley Lions Donkey Derby. As the drums of the approaching parade sound in Victoria Road, it's worth noting, and noticeably so after this week's rain, yesterday evening's not least, that Hawley and its memorial gardens lie on the heavy clay soil of the Weald, which is so similar to the cloying Flanders fields around Ypres in Belgium. And the town's relationship with the battlefields across the Channel is furthered by its twinning arrangement with Vimy, the small town near Lille in northern France, between Lens and Arras in the Pas-de-Calais. Vimy is primarily a farming town, quieter and certainly smaller than Hawley, overlooked by Vimy Ridge, the First World War battlefield where many Canadians lost their lives. After the war, the highest point of the ridge was chosen as the site of the great memorial to all 60,000 Canadians who served their country in battle and gave their lives in France. It bears the names of 11,000 Canadians who have no known grave. In happier times, the Hawley singers today enjoy strong musical links with the Vimy Brass Band. The parade formed up this morning in Consort Way West, moved off, turning into Vicarage Lane. It's now proceeding across the traffic lights from Victoria Road to the lane, and the parade will break off when all are here and walk into the War Memorial Gardens. Obviously, the gardens can't accept the entire parade all in one go, so as we look out at the memorial now, the colourful standards are making their way in. I can see five bright standards on their masts being carried in. They'll be lowered later during the ceremony. The Redhill Corps of Drums, with its commanding officer Major David Edge, is heading the parade this morning. The standards have now broken off as we look. Two more enter, the guides, the Hawley guides, I think, and the scouts. The full order of the parade saw the chairman of Hawley Town Council and the chairman of the local branch of the Royal British Legion in the lead. Then the regular forces, the wreath-laying party, the civic party, the judiciary, the ex-service associations of Hawley Town, the uniformed public services, the Army Cadet Force, St. John Ambulance, as we've already said, the Scouts and Girl Guides, Oakwood School, and the Poppy Parade. A committee was formed in 1919 to provide the Hawley War Memorial, which in 1922 was duly positioned on its original site on the other side of the Brighton Road from today. Soldier George Freeman died an unexceptional death in the war by the standards of the day, but his father was a member of the Town Council and the original chairman of the War Memorial Committee. He it was who secured the original plot outside the hostelry in those days known as the Thorns, today the Air Balloon. The memorial was moved to its present site here in the Memorial Gardens in 1953 when the Brighton Road was widened. It's a white Celtic cross, bearing in stone a sword, some foliage, and a wreath below which we read, "To the glory of God and in honour of the men of Hawley who made the supreme sacrifice in the Great War, 1914 to 1918. Their name liveth forevermore." As members of the band file now into the memorial garden at Hawley, we can see the words beneath the first inscription on the memorial, the renowned words of Lawrence Binyon that begin, "They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old." And below those is the later inscription, "To the memory of those who gave their lives in the World War, 1939 to 1945, for their honour and remembrance." The memorial's maintained by Hawley Town Council. It's surrounded this morning by red cyclamens and a host of individual crosses, each bearing a poppy and planted earlier in the week. A little further away, amid the striped grass, there are pristine flower beds, planted lovingly this week in Monday's rain by Richard Ryan from Ashted, whom I met here on Tuesday afternoon as rain clouds gathered once more. The memorial displays the names of 122 men who died in the First War and 46 from World War II. In this centenary year, we concentrate this morning on the First War and to an extent on the local regiments, though many other regiments are represented here. And we remember those who died in other conflicts, most recently more than 450 in Afghanistan alone. When the First World War broke out, the population of Hawley was under 6,000. Biographies of all 122 First World War soldiers listed on the memorial have been assembled into a book written by local historian Doug Cox to mark this year's centenary. This piece of painstaking scholarship is called "Men of Hawley, Lest We Forget." It was launched at the local library in July. All the men who feature on the memorial have at least one page in the book. Although not all the men listed are actually from the town, and there are at least 10 men who were killed in the Great War who are not among the names. There are 25 further men who listed Hawley as their residence, but the names that are on the memorial are all in some way related to the town. They were chosen after consideration by the War Memorial Committee. And while not all the men were born here or lived here, certainly most of them grew up here. Many were baptized and married in St. Bartholomew's Church. Some are buried there. Examination of all available sources suggests that about 100 further men from the town, or nearby, might also have been listed, but for various reasons, they were not. The deaths commemorated here were spread across the battlefields of the world. Some died at home and are buried locally. Most of them lie in France and Belgium, 35 in the Somme battlefields alone, and at least 26 around Ypres. South Russia, Jerusalem, Gallipoli and Salonika are among their last resting places, as well as the seas as far away as the South Atlantic. At least two Hawley men were killed serving in the Australian infantry, three more enlisted in Canada. Among these men are winners of the Military Medal, the Military Cross, and one Victoria Cross. They were surely not all heroic in the military sense, but the privations, dangers, and hardship they suffered means that they all merit our admiration, remembrance, and thanks. There are some poignant individual tales to tell regarding the less obvious heroes. James Robinson of the 1st Hampshires, born in Hawley and resident in Charlwood, was the first Hawley man to die at Mons on the 26th of August 1914, just 3 days after hostilities commenced. Albert Coutts of the 1st Battalion, the Queen's Own Regiment, the Royal West Kent, lived in Hawley as a sick.
And welcome to the War Memorial for our Remembrance Sunday service.
The Reverend John Glasspool.
We meet together today in the presence of God. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between nations, that all people may together live in freedom, justice, and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability, and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away.
During the silence, will you please remember all people who have passed away since the First World War? Thank you.
That was Ron Pierce, branch president of the Royal British Legion.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left are old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn, at the going down in the sun and in the morning. We will remember them.
We will remember them.
Ravalli concludes the 2 minutes silence at Hawley here this morning. The standards lowered for the silence are raised. Bright now in the sunshine, which has broken through during the last 2 minutes, to bathe in November light, the large crowd inside and outside the gardens. You heard Ron Pierce, the branch president of the Royal British Legion, remembering past members and then giving the exhortation. Standard bearers stand at ease now. The Queen's wreath will be laid before the service begins. You just heard Councillor Andrew Lynch, representing Reigate and Banstead Council, announced as the wreath layer. He steps forward now to the white memorial, bright now in this November sunshine, steps back, bows, steps away, and the branch chaplain of the Royal British Legion, the Reverend John Glasspool, will now lead our service.
Let us pray. Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Congregation in fine voice this morning for the 19th century English hymn Onward Christian Soldiers. Words written by Baring Gould in 1865 and the music composed by Arthur Sullivan in 1871. The Salvation Army adopted the hymn as its favoured processional, and from then on the piece became Sullivan's most popular hymn. When Churchill and Roosevelt met in August 1941 on the battleship HMS Prince of Wales to agree the Atlantic Charter, a service was held on board, and Churchill chose Onward Christian Soldiers as part of that service. Following the final verse, we'll hear this morning's reading from Mr. Paul Grest, who's a member of the branch committee of the Holy Royal British Legion.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Paul Grest reading Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. And now the Royal British Legion branch chaplain, the Reverend John Glasspoole, to give his address and lead prayers.
From early history, flowers have become symbols. Roses for love and England. Daffodils for Marie Curie Charity and Wales. The thistle for Scotland, and the shamrock for Ireland. And of course, the poppy has become the universal symbol of remembrance. Mourning the death of a friend in Belgium in 1915, John McCrae wrote the poem, later to be published in England, which captured the spirit of conflict. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard among the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset's glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. The scarlet poppy quickly became the symbol for soldiers who died in battle. And the first British Legion Poppy Appeal Day began in 1921 to raise money for poor and disabled veterans. Some measure of its symbolic power is found today in the blood-swept tears and seas of red at the Tower of London that has captured the heart and mind of the nation. This Armistice Day, there will be 888,246 ceramic poppies around the tower in memory of each British military life lost in the First World War. And we, in our turn, have come here today to remember all those who've fallen in wars present and past. Some of you will have personal memories of losing a member of your own family or a friend. But for many of us, it will be an inherited memory, passed on from one generation to the next. It is a day of both pride and pain. Some we remember today died in heroic circumstances, some in tragedy and conflict, some in routine duties, some as civilians trying to keep daily life as routine as possible. In a world in which we often feel powerless to make any change or difference, it is good, it is necessary to remember. For it is in remembering that peace may come. Jesus was born in an occupied land. He lived and died in that land. Peace was not on the agenda in Jesus' time. Yet he came and taught peace to the disciples and to anyone else who would listen. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." The message that Jesus preached did not suit the religious and political leaders of his time, because he threatened the way things were. They wanted a quiet, trouble-free life. Peace on their terms was just fine. But the peace that Jesus preached cost him his life. The message that he taught challenged the authorities, and for this he was crucified most cruelly on a cross. Peace is a precious commodity. It comes from trust, patience, tolerance, and faith. It is not unilateral. It cannot be peace only on my terms. It results from mutual agreement and understanding. peace has never been easy to achieve. It is very hard work to establish and keep the peace at any level in our society, as we all know today. Yet, regardless of the difficulties, peace must be what we all strive for, and it must come from us. It must come from our remembrance of those who've given their lives in war. It must come from those injured in conflict and their families and their loved ones left at home. Peace will not come if we forget. It won't happen if we wait for others to work for it. It is through our vigilance, our voice, and our prayers that peace and light will emerge. The poppy is our symbol of remembrance, but let us remember, through the remembering of pain and loss, that there is always the light of hope and peace. And as we lay our poppy wreaths and crosses, let us remember with thanksgiving all those who gave their lives for peace, and let us seek to pursue peace in our world today. And so let us pray. Firstly, for all those who suffer. Father, we remember how your Son, during the time of his ministry on earth, had great compassion for those who suffered. We bring to you those who still suffer as a result of war. Hear our prayer, Father, for those who live with the pain and scars of bodily injury, for those whose minds are shattered by the horrors which they have witnessed or endured, for those who have been bereaved, for those who do not trust in you or trust their fellow comrades. Grant them peace of mind and heart and relief from all their sufferings, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a prayer for peace. O Prince of Peace, bring your peace into our disordered world. Come now to live in our hearts. Bring your order into our chaos, and hasten the day when you will come again, and all people will acknowledge your sovereign rule. In your name we ask this. Amen. And a prayer for the Queen and all in authority. Lord God, whose faithfulness knows no end, we pray for our Queen and all those under her who guide and govern the affairs of our nation. Grant that they may honour you, so that they may be set free from the fear of man. Help them in every situation to know and do the thing that is right. Overrule their deliberations for the good of our people and for the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And finally, for ourselves. O God, our Father, help us to realize that all striving after justice must begin with ourselves and not with others. Make us to be those who work for peace and seek always to express your love in the world. Help us to encourage the spirit of reconciliation by being those who forgive rather than those who try to establish their rights. We ask this in the name of the one who forgave those who persecuted him, even Jesus Christ our Lord.
That was the Reverend John Glasspool giving his thought-provoking address. And now, the first strains of Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Eternal Father, Strong to Save is a hymn traditionally associated with seafarers, especially the maritime armed services, and it was also sung when Churchill met Roosevelt on the Prince of Wales. Written in 1860, its author William Whiting was inspired by the dangers of the sea described in Psalm 107. It was popularized by the Royal Navy and the United States Navy in the late 19th century. Following the hymn, the Reverend Glasspool will lead the act of rededication, followed by the national anthem and the laying of wreaths.
So let us pledge ourselves today to live as good neighbours, to honour the past, to care for all who are in need, and to live at peace among ourselves and with all people. Lord God, Father of all, we pledge ourselves to serve you and this neighbourhood, to bring relief to all who are in need, and comfort to the sad, lonely, and distressed. Keep us ever mindful of the struggles and achievements of former generations, and of this place where we make our home, now and in the days to come. Amen. Strengthen our hearts and hands and minds, O Lord, to work together for peace, to see you in one another, and to seek your kingdom above all things, that your will may be seen to be done, and your kingdom come, through Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Amen. As we ask that God's will may be done in this and every place, so may we pray together as Jesus Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Standards lowered for the national anthem and raised now, bright in the brilliant Hawley sunshine this Remembrance Sunday morning. In the background, I can just see children playing on a merry-go-round here in the recreation ground beyond the Memorial Park. If ever there were a vindication of the long-ago fight for freedom, that must be it. And now, the wreath-laying part of our ceremony here at Hawley. And first, wreaths from Hawley Town Council, laid by the Mayor, Dr. Richard Oliver, and from Surrey County Council, laid by Councillor Kay Hammond. There's a magnificent crowd, both inside and outside the gardens here now as we approach 11:30, and I can't stress too much how wonderful this autumn sunshine is. The Royal British Legion laying its wreaths. You should be able to hear the parade marshal calling out each line of wreath layers in turn. Next, the Royal Naval Association, the Royal Artillery Association, the Royal Air Force Association.
Royal Naval Association, Royal Artillery, SAFA, and any other ex-service association, please.
The memorial here in the gardens, standing white in the sunshine, as wreaths are laid in further tribute alongside the everlasting tribute which it expresses. The standards, the cockades on the young service people, the drum bands, headdresses, combining into a colourful scene here. And one young lady just in front of my broadcast position is wearing a white skirt decorated with red poppies.
Uniformed public services.
Wreaths now laid by members of the uniformed public services. Yet again in November, we've still got green leaves on the trees at either end of the Memorial Gardens as a local police officer lays a wreath, bows, turns away.
WI, Hawley Lions, and any other uniformed, ununiformed voluntary services.
Hawley Lions, who of course sponsored the Donkey Derby covered here in this memorial ground by Susie Radio only a few short weeks ago. I can see St John Ambulance, who are performing sterling service here this morning amongst this crop of wreath layers. Always strikes me how brilliant red poppies are worn on black overcoats. Traffic hardly obtrusive on the Brighton Road. It's been passing throughout the ceremony.
Army cadets, scout groups, and any other cadet forces, please.
The youngest members among the wreath layers stepping forward now in the sunshine. Scouts, brownies, guides, cadets. Duty over for the young people. The memorial now nearly surrounded by wreaths, as red as the cyclamens below.
Albert Rose Sports and Social Club, Club Conservative Club, Rugby Club, and all other clubs or associations, please.
A reminder that politics, recreation, were among those things at risk in that long ago fight for freedom whose centenary we mark in this year of 2014. The club members in turn dismount the steps, turn, bow, and move back into the gardens.
Oakwood School, all other schools and all youth organisations, please.
I said we'd already covered the most youthful members among the wreath layers. Not quite true. The schools are involved here too, this morning. And a boy and a girl from Oakwood step forward, lay their wreaths high on the northeastern side, bow, immaculate in their uniforms, and step away.
If anybody else here has a wreath or a cross and they'd like to lay it, please come forward now.
And at the parade marshal's request, a number of other members of the community here in Hawley thronged around the war memorial this November Sunday morning. Come forward to add their floral tributes. And I can see one of those red cockaded headdresses from the Redhill drum band among them. This really is a most impressive sight. Wonderful turnout from the people of Hawley and from the local organisations. And very few people have stepped away among the congregation, either inside the gardens or outside, where they still stand dense around the railings at this southern end of the Memorial Gardens on the busy road junction of the main Brighton Road, Vicarage Lane, and Victoria Road, along which the parade will soon march back into Hawley Town Centre before it's dismissed. People wrapped up against the November cold, but the sun beginning to warm the cockles as we
when you go home,
head on.
Tell the bus and say, for your tomorrow, we save our today.
The Kohima epitaph from Mr. Ron Pierce. And finally, in the service, the blessing from the chaplain.
Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good cheer. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no man evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all men. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
The Reverend John Glasspool, chaplain to the Hawley branch of the Royal British Legion, concludes the service in brilliant sunlight. And as the formal proceedings begin now to dissolve, the mayor leading the party out of the gardens. About 40 minutes ago, I began the story of Albert Coutts, and I, by your leave, I'm just going to finish that now. Albert Coutts, a sickly young man with a deformed chest, who was past fit for home duty only, but was nonetheless posted to France in 1917. Within 2 months, he was in hospital. His wife wrote a letter, which still exists in his service record, begging for him to be returned home to light duties and offering herself as a young, strong woman in his place at the front. Her plea was rejected. He was killed shortly afterwards in action at the age of 26. As the service ends here in Hawley Memorial Gardens and the elements of the parade, led by these magnificent brightly coloured standards, start to reassemble behind us in Vicarage Lane, ready to march back to the town centre, Susie Radio is very grateful to Hawley Town Council and especially to Mr. Alan Jones for their ready assistance with this morning's outside broadcast. Bill Watson, Tony Key and especially Doug Cox have provided special help with its preparation. Doug's research has been essential. We mentioned earlier Doug's fine book, Men of Hawley, Lest We Forget. Hawley Town Council hopes the book will help residents understand how and why local people fought for their country. Their statement says, "We, along with other organisations, believe there's an important duty to remember the British and Commonwealth troops who lost their lives fighting in the Great War and subsequently. The production of a book of dedication will augment the war memorial as a mark of respect to all fallen heroes. We trust it will help residents to understand how Hawley and its surrounding areas played their part in the Great War, and to ensure that all memories of that sacrifice for British freedom and liberty are acknowledged for generations to come." I'll be talking to Doug Cox live on air next Wednesday afternoon, but perhaps the last word this morning should go almost incongruously on such a quintessentially English day to United States President Barack Obama. Back in the now long faded summer of this year at a commemoration in northern France, he said, "Whenever the world makes you cynical, think of these men." In this centenary year of the outbreak of the First World War, on Remembrance Sunday from the Memorial Gardens in Hawley, back to the studio.